Prepare to be astonished.
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another adventure in history. We are once again so happy that you are joining us. What month is it, Mac? I don't even know what month it is. I think it's March.
It is. We're into March.
We're marching into the...
Oh, don't say that.
Okay. Okay. We're not.
So we were supposed to have a guest, but we don't.
We don't.
Because we kept moving the show.
I know. And, you know, it happens. They just didn't show up. So it's truly the hodgepodge. But
everybody is sick.
I feel like this is going to be like the talk show podcast. Like this is what like the famous people do. We're just going to talk, Mac. No script.
I don't know about that.
Okay. Well, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, like my daughter says, is it Insta-famous?
Insta-famous?
Like Instagram?
Instagram.
You don't think we're at that clout yet?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, there's dreams.
And I feel very disconnected. did we talk about the fan expo that the Oregon Film Museum went to in Portland?
No.
It was like 3 weeks ago. Because what your daughter just said, like the Instagram connection. I know what Instagram is.
That's good.
The museum has an Instagram account. But besides loading stuff up, I don't really look at it at all. But we went to Fan Expo. It's kind of like a Comic Con. We were invited to have a booth in Portland at the convention center. And they didn't charge us. That was why we were like, yeah, let's do it. So we put a booth together. It was pretty cool. Had some volunteers and some staff it. My wife and I went to close it down. We were there for the Sunday afternoon. We were there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And supposedly like 25,000 people were there.
Yeah.
Just, you know, hundreds of booths and speakers and famous people supposedly willing to do autographs and selfies and things like that. I walked along the wall of all the people.
The famous ones?
The famous ones.
Yeah.
And there were probably about 100. I recognized two names.
Oh, well, but two.
And granted, some of them were, you know, I was the comic book artist for Superman issues this through that.
Oh,
you know that. Yeah. Okay, if you were a fan of their artwork or that comic book character, yes. But there were still just a lot of people I did not know.
Yeah.
And then when I first got there, we were kind of on the walkway to the big stage where people were their stars for Q&A. And right as I got there, heard like, "And you all know him from the Star Wars franchise," and they named a name. I'd never heard of this person.
Oh.
And I stuck my head around the corner and I look because they got big screen, you know, next to it. So if you're way back in the audience, you can see. I didn't recognize this person. I didn't know their name. And I'm a huge Star Wars geek.
Yeah.
And then at some point within a minute, the guy starts singing. And I'm like, what Star Wars guy sings?
Oh,
and I had to look him up on my phone. It was like somebody in like the new Boba Fett or something.
Okay.
But I was just like, okay, and there's this huge audience cheering, and I have no idea who this is.
And so what's the age demographic for that, though? I mean, how are we out of the... Is it really young?
Yes.
Okay.
And, you know, a lot of anime and things like that. And people were walking past in costumes. I'm like, I don't have any idea who they're trying to be. And I realized we had our Carly Chioni, our special events and volunteer liaison, was kind of the key staffer. And I was like, okay... You're 30 or under, you need to staff this in the future and not me. I could just show up to help set the booth up or take it down, but I am not the right person. I
mean, thankfully,
you know, we were all about the Goonies.
Yes.
So people came over and, oh yeah, I've been to the film museum. I've been to Astoria. Oh yeah. Oh, the 40th is coming up. Great. But beyond that, I was useless. And I felt very, very old.
Oh, that's funny.
That was a long story to get to. I feel old when my daughter talks about Instagram.
But some of those, I mean, do cross age generations, right? I mean, like Goonies is truly still all ages.
It is. It's like the parents of the original kids that watched it.
Right.
In the 80s to kids that are like 20 that somehow
still
discovered it on their own or their parents loved it.
Yes.
So yeah, it's three generations plus.
And did I tell you we just watched the Goonies? recently. No. So just a couple weeks ago with my 9-year-old.
Oh, wow.
I know. And so, you know, like I warned her about some things and like I gave away some plot things. You know, nobody's going to die. Nobody gets hurt. The bad guys are going to get caught. You know, like she's one of those like she needs to know that before she watched it. And at the end, she was like, Mom, I was too young for that.
Yes.
At the end.
There's bad language. And I can imagine that the Mama Fratelli could be kind of scary and sloth.
That was more, you know, it was intense. That's what the word she kept using. That was a little intense.
Did she like seeing things that she recognized?
She did. Well, and you know what's so funny is from the Goonies house to the museum, she's like, that's not that close. I mean, she noticed immediately.
And they ride their bikes to Cannon Beach.
And then, and where's that? Yeah. So some of those things were just, were like, yes, it's a movie, Carly. And had to explain that a lot of it was also done on a set. So that made sense to her, too. But I think she was happy to know that there weren't like underground tunnels like that below where we live.
And did she identify at all with, you know, the kids overcome and they don't need adults to do it?
Yes, she did. I mean, she liked that in the end they didn't have to move, that they got, you know, these friends like overcame. And she liked the sloth character, too, because also I was like, OK, this guy is he's never bad. Like, you know, so, yeah, she was like, oh, that's so sweet. And he finally has people that love him.
So did she have a favorite character?
You know, I'd have to ask her. It could have been Sloth in the end. Yeah. Okay. Or Chunk. I mean, she really like, cause Chunk too is funny, right? Like when they're like threatening him and he's like, what do you know? And he goes like, well, in the ninth grade or the fourth grade, I did this.
So we have, since we opened the Film Museum 15 years ago, we've had a little vote for your favorite Goonie, and Chunk hands down.
Oh,
it has like 40% of the votes.
Oh, funny.
And like the next level's like 18,
20%.
And it kind of goes back and forth between Data and Mikey is number 2.
Okay.
And then Mouth is always like number 4.
Yeah, Data's my husband's favorite. Like just as an actor too. Like he's really seriously followed his career.
Yeah.
And loves that.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So we've learned today that Alana is a terrible parent that allows her children to watch inappropriate movies for their age.
But they'll tell us. They'll tell me. No shame. Okay. All right.
You got a word for
us? I do. This sort of goes with what we're talking about. This word is a noun, person, place, or thing. A minikin.
A minikin.
Not a mannequin, but a minikin.
A minikin.
Minikin. M-I-N-I-K-I-N.
That is a person that doesn't want a lot of extraneous or expensive things in their life.
Ooh, that's a good one. Nope, it's a small petite creature or person.
Oh.
A minikin. I mean, that one, if we actually remember any of these words, that one would be easy to insert.
See, though, I bet it was used in an insulting, in our modern sense, an insulting manner.
Oh, it could be. Yes, that's true. Minikin. Don't be such
guess.
A minikin.
Yes.
A little person. Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. Well, there's my new insult.
That's
Mac.
All right. So you ready for some history highlights here?
I am. Yes.
All right. Let's see. These are things March 3rd.
Okay.
As always, bar trivia, winning contest, icebreakers, things. If you got nothing to talk about with your work. People.
Or just to expand your brain.
Yep. So March 3rd. 468.
Wow.
I knew you were going to like that one. And I just put this in. I know nothing about it, and I don't think it really had a huge impact on history, but I just, you're going to know why I chose this when I read it. So 468, Saint Simplicius elected to succeed Catholic Pope Hilarius.
Wow.
I love those two names.
Yes.
And I wonder if that's where like simple comes from and hilarious comes from. So Saint Simplicius.
I love it.
Elected to succeed Catholic Pope Hilarius. And I don't think I'm mispronouncing these at all.
Right.
That is how they are spelled. So well, I don't know how else you could pronounce
derivatives.
Them.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
So I'm sure it had a huge impact on history. 1820. Congress passes the Missouri Compromise. Missouri is let in as a slave state.
Yep.
But the rest of the Louisiana Purchase will be free in the future. But to make sure that the states are still even, because that's what Congress and all the United States kept doing, was punting this, kicking this can down the road of what are we going to do about slavery. They bring Maine in as a free state to keep that balance.
Yeah.
So Missouri. I lived in Missouri for a while.
Okay.
And the phrase during the Civil War and afterwards was Northern by nature, Southern in their hearts.
Oh, interesting.
It was completely militarized during the Civil War. So everybody was locked down and it was federal troops were there. But people in Missouri really were looking south.
Okay.
So I've always liked that phrase.
I mean, they are... sense. They're still a red state, but are they a more moderate red, though?
I don't know. I mean, it's been 25 years since I lived there. So I can't really speak to that.
Because, when I think about Missouri, I think of the, it does just seem like, they're still kind of an oddball, right? They're not the South, and they're certainly not the North, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I like the Arch.
Yeah.
I like Kansas City.
Yes.
All right.
That's another podcast.
1837. Congress increases the U.S. Supreme Court membership from 7 to 9. 1837.
Okay, good.
1845. Florida becomes the 27th state of the Union.
Welcome to the party.
Do we welcome them to the party?
Why did we create one state? I mean, that just is still kind of baffles me.
What do you mean?
Well, it's just so huge.
Oh, Florida?
Yeah.
Why it's not more? Well, see, you can do that. I mean, Ben Franklin was wild that thought we should not have states as large as they are. They should all be geographic areas, like river valleys.
Oh, interesting.
And certainly, like Pennsylvania feels like it should be two states. I mean, right here in Oregon, there's the whole east part of the state that feels like
California.
They're not associated. California,
right.
Northern, Southern, yeah. So, 18, I like picking on Florida, though.
Yes,
my brother
of course.
Was
there. It's easy to pick on them.
1875, the first indoor game of ice hockey. 1875, and it ends in a brawl. I don't know why I love that.
That's so funny.
So the Canadian newspapers later described a skirmish breaking out at the game's end where, quote, shins and heads were battered, benches smashed, and the lady spectators fled in confusion. Doesn't that sound like a modern hockey game?
It does, yeah. So that one stuck.
1875. Are you a hockey fan?
No.
Okay, yeah, me neither. 1885. And this was in under consideration for my history highlight of the day. 1885, the American Telephone and Telegraph Company incorporates AT&T.
Okay, yeah.
Huge.
That is a big deal.
Yeah. 1887, Helen Keller meets Ann Sullivan, her teacher and miracle worker.
Yes. I love that. That is an amazing story, right?
It really is. Both of them.
I mean, I do think the teacher has gotten the credit, too.
Yes.
I mean, I don't think that, but I even now her name, I mean, you just said it.
Both sides. How do you break through?
Yes.
And then, I mean, I can't even imagine losing my eyesight, but I've had it for 50 plus years.
Right.
So
how
do you not? How do you understand the world without that end hearing? It's just amazing to me, that whole story.
And so important to just millions of people, right? What came out of her education.
Yeah. 1905, the U.S. Forest Service forms.
Oh, we like them.
We do.
Yep.
1831, the Star-Spangled Banner becomes the official U.S. national anthem.
Okay.
And we all know how I feel about
that. Yeah.
I love the United States.
Yes, you do.
I just think that's a terrible song.
Yeah. Hardest song to sing ever.
Exactly.
Right?
I like the poem. I like Francis Scott Key, the whole story of he's locked up on a British ship and he sees Fort McHenry and he gets all choked up and he writes these words on the back of an envelope. I guess the music is okay, but combining these two things and making it our national anthem, terrible decision.
I think what you just said, as a poem, I mean, that would have just made more sense.
Yeah.
Can't change it now, though. Or I guess we could.
That's one of the reasons I put this one in. 1931.
Yeah.
It's not like we've had this as our national anthem for even 100 years. So,
okay.
All right, not that I'm advocating, because
right.
there are much larger things yeah. in this world that need fixing than a
but often questionable those national. Are the ones we focus on, yes. though, right?
1945, Finland declares war on Germany.
Ooh, Finland.
Finland, 1945. Way to come in at the end.
Yeah.
but we like Finland.
We love Finland, of yep. course, yes.
1991, the LAPD officers beat Rodney King on camera.
One of my favorite podcasts that we did.
That's right.
Yes. Talking yeah. to one of the California state troopers who responded. And then, I mean, it had so many
that's right.
ripple
he did
effects.
It. He actually showed up.
He did.
After the beating.
Yes.
I was thinking he was just involved in the riots and then the O.J. Simpson thing.
Nope.
But no, that's right.
Yep. He was involved with the investigation, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And didn't he talk about on the air with us, like he showed up and he was like, guys, what the heck?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So not that we're a political show, but really, guys, what the heck?
I know. But that okay. was, I mean, if you ever go back, he just had some great just insight into the things that were happening in real life time, like in time.
Yeah.
And how it, he just was seeing how things were, the ripple effect happened very easily, of course.
Yeah. Okay. And then again, it's not a political show. This really was something that not just me, but a lot of historians say had a huge impact. It is relevant to what we are witnessing right now. I did not choose it because of that. I chose it because it really did have an important impact. 1871, and this is on March 3rd, 1871, U.S. Congress establishes the civil service system. And the reason that's significant is prior to that, that's one of the ways you vote for me and I'll hire you as the new head of the water department.
Right. Yes.
These political machines all over the country on local levels, on state levels, on federal levels. And at some point, and in this time period, this is the growth of the middle class from, you know, the 1870s through really the 1920s. And it was this middle class is really kind of a management class, but it's also a class of professionals.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, who do you want running your water department?
Right.
A guy who actually understands, or the guy who's drinking buddies and went and got 10 people to vote for this guy.
Right. Yes.
So it made our government far more professional.
Which,
so,
yeah.
Had a huge impact.
It is. And yeah. also, I mean, I think, too, we're at a time there, too, where infrastructure was rapidly changing.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So also, you know, making it political or not, like this sort of removed some of the a lot of the political aspect of it, allowed for it to be steady. Like yes. things just continued operating regardless of who was in charge yeah. of the country.
You know, my grandfather had a small town upstate New York. He became the postmaster.
Okay.
And the reason it was a reward from the political party.
Oh.
He had been a good party guy. I won't say which one. And he had worked in like he was like in a tailor shop for years. Like when my father was growing up. And somebody at some point, because he'd been a good party guy, they said, you know, hey, what do you think the postmaster job's going to open up? And he's like, well, you know, it doesn't seem like it's all that difficult. You know, this is the 1940s.
Right.
But he's like, you know, I guess I could do that. Seems like a nice job. Good perks.
Right.
And he took the test the first time, I believe. This is a little bit of family lore. And he didn't score high enough or something. So they made the test go again. And the party sent like four other guys in that all flunked it on purpose.
Oh. Oh,
so all geez. Of a sudden, my grandfather was like the best scorer. And I mean, he still had to get appointed by the Senate because we've got like some telegrams back and forth that, you know, I put your name forth and congratulations.
Yeah. How cool.
And then apparently, I guess he did a good job because he's the postmaster for like 25 years there.
Yes.
But
yeah,
there's a little bit of this
yeah.
professionalism here. And was he really qualified? I mean, he ended up doing a good job, apparently. But
so
this is the way things were done.
Yeah, it does. It makes sense. Yeah, I have nothing more to that.
So did I miss anything?
No, you didn't. Because I didn't do any of my homework anyways, Mac.
You've been on a plane and you've been flying.
Yes.
So,
hence our little hodgepodge show. We don't have a script or anything. So I thought we would just chat about a little bit more about us. You know, we insert ourselves into our show all the time.
Do we?
While you say, you know, we aren't political, and then I kind of giggle and I'm like, I am so political. And Mac just looks at me and smiles and yeah.
See, everything that I say is personal. I've just made up.
Yeah.
It's not real.
Oh,
I really am not married with a family. I just made up those characters.
Oh, please. We love Renee. She's our editor, by the way. Not that we need editing, but she edits.
She's our producer.
Our producer, our stop and end person on the thing. So, yeah, but I thought what we would do is talk about our jobs. Mm-hmm. You and I have had many jobs, but let's start with first job. And I can go first. My first job was at McMiniman's Edgefield, one of my absolute favorites. And I was a housekeeper.
At what age?
At 15.
Okay. Now, prior to that, would you consider a job being like I babysat?
True. I was a babysitter, but I guess, I don't know. I guess I didn't consider that a job. Like when I was paid, mm-hmm. you know, I had a paycheck.
A paycheck versus being paid.
True.
Okay.
But yeah, so babysitter.
Those kind of jobs, I got paid, like raking leaves,
yeah.
House sitting.
And... So there's where you're from. Oh, house sitting.
Yeah.
So how old were you then?
I drove to it, so 16 or 17.
Got it.
And then when I was like 12 and 13, I had a couple of paid magic shows that I did.
Oh, did I know that you were into magic?
Well, I was into magic.
Okay, was.
I come from a long line of magicians.
That makes sense. This explains some things.
My great uncle, John Makepeace, actually made a living as a traveling magician. And he was in the army for a while and performed all over Japan, China, and then the United States. His stage name, he had two different stage names. He was Count Descartes.
Oh, my goodness.
And then the other name is escaping me right now. But
Makepeace was his name, though?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And then he inspired my father. And then having all the magic stuff in our house, you know, my dad wouldn't just say, here's how the trick is done. If you wanted to learn how the trick was done, you needed to learn how to do the trick.
Okay.
So my biggest paid gig, I performed for a Cub Scout Blue and Gold dinner. Three towns over that my parents had to drive me to.
Yeah.
And I rocked it. It was like a 22-minute show, and they paid me, I think, like $25 and dinner.
Okay. That's pretty good, though,
like,
back then.
As like a 13-year-old.
Right? $25. That's quite a bit. Yeah. My housekeeping gig didn't last long. I learned very, very quickly I did not like cleaning up anyone's mess at all.
I think that's a horrible job, and the people that do it are vastly underpaid.
Yeah. Well, yes. I mean, McMiniman's is known for paying well, or at least historically. When I worked there, I did earn really good money. And we got tips. So people, you know, I learned about tipping your housekeeper. Do you know about that? Like you're supposed to tip,
supposed
you know,
to.
Like $10 to $20. And McMiniman's guests were very consistent in tipping.
Interesting.
It is. But again, it lasted like a couple months. I still make my bed with the hospital corners, by the way.
Oh, no.
I do. And I fold my towels the way that I learned how you do it in a hotel. Uh-huh. So like when Mark folds our towels, I refold every single one of them. All of them.
Maybe he knows how to do it, but he just does it on purpose so that he doesn't have to do it
and
anymore.
Seriously, it was like 3 months and I was like, I can't do this anymore. And I moved over to the restaurant and I worked in the Black Rabbit, which was like a fine dining. Mm-hmm. And there, you know, I earned $15 to $20 an hour.
Wow.
So I had a pretty high like wage and then tips. Mm-hmm. And again, it was a fine dining restaurant at the time, still I think is. Mm-hmm. But it was then for a while, because I went into television news, which pays terrible. I would look back and be like, I made more at McMiniman's Edgefield as a 16-year-old than I was in like my real career with college debt.
That's funny and sad.
Isn't it? And honestly, the benefits too at that, because they had great benefits again at the time. This is 30 years ago.
And are there stories where people really rude to you? Like, I ordered this.
Oh, all the time.
See, that's, I hate that.
Yes. Yes. All the time. Oh, and you know, speaking of when I was a housekeeper. So my one interesting story too is, have you been to McMiniman? I mean, you've been to a McMiniman.
Yeah, I've been to a few of them.
So Edgefield was the first, that was their first large scale resort property, the first they'd ever made. So it was the first one that they turned into a bed and breakfast, was 100 rooms. and it was a former poor farm turned into an old folks home. As displayed throughout the art, throughout the entire property, it tells the story of that piece of property. And of course, I remembered it prior to Edgefield actually being renovated. You know, that building was always there when we would drive by. It was just right down the street from my school. So we saw the renovation happen. Very beautiful. But there was stories of spirits and ghosts. So I was cleaning one room. It's the top room, and it's where the bell tower was located.
And it was,
you know, reported to be just haunted. And I wasn't scared, but, you know, a little creepy because, again, there are like pictures throughout the whole thing of all the stories. I go in, the door to the bell tower is shut. I'm cleaning the room and everything, and the door opens to that bell tower. I go and I get somebody to close it because, of course, at this point, I'm terrified. Somebody comes in, they close it because there's no door or there's no, you know, it's a key. It's shut and it happens again. So it's shut and locked and opens twice while I'm cleaning the room. That's my only sort of ghost story.
See, what I don't understand about that is why does the ghost need to open the door? Can the ghost not just come through the wall, through the closed door, and open the door?
The person that was trying to terrify me just shut the door. Like,
exactly.
Just shut it. The rooms now, it's actually split up into multiple rooms, and that bell tower is not part of a room anymore.
No.
Isn't that interesting?
Maybe.
So
maybe that's where just the ghost lives and they leave them alone now.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So then what was your first, like...
So the first paycheck.
Yes.
I worked one day in the mall at the Gap.
Yeah.
They hired me. Before. They were going to do like a counting. They wanted to count. So I had a clicker and I had to stand at the front, like just loitering by the entrance. It was in the mall.
Yes.
And I clicked and clicked, clicked for like 4 hours.
Oh my gosh.
And it was the end of the day. And then I came back the next day. And they're like, yeah, we decided that was stupid. We're not going to do that. Thanks.
Oh.
And they gave me a paycheck for the 4 hours. And then I went to work for McDonald's.
Okay.
And I made the McDLTs, the hot side hot, the cold side cold.
The Mc.
It was like in 1984, 85.
I was going to say, I don't know. I do not remember it at all.
And I worked one shift. Oh. I did 2 days of training.
You and your one shifts.
And they put me on at rush hour for the first time ever.
Okay.
And I'm like, buzzers are going off and there's lines. I mean, there are like four different cashiers and each one has like 5 or 6 people lined up. So the first time I'm ever like actually doing the stuff for real is 5:30 at night.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And buzzers are going off and I'm trying to remember the order of stuff because the hot side hot is like this strange foam container, the burger. And a bun was on one side, and then the other side had the other bun and, like, the lettuce and the tomato. So it was crisp when you put the sandwich together.
Okay.
But that's the way it was served. And buzzers are going off. I'm trying to do my best job. And the guy next to me is making something else. And all of a sudden, the manager, who's probably all of, like, 22 years old.
If even.
Screams at this guy.
Oh, no.
Is that a pickle in your mouth? And everything like pauses. This is like such a movie scene to me. Everything pauses and there's still buzzers going off. And the people outside can see and hear like something's going on back there because they can kind of see through. And the guy like swallows. He goes, yeah. And she goes, that's coming out of your paycheck. And she just like screams at him. And he's like, holy cow, it's a pickle. Who cares? And about 5 minutes later, she screams at me. And I didn't even know she was screaming at me. Is your hat on crooked? And I like just pause. And I'm like... What? Are you talking to me? Really? Is that important now? And I'm 16.
Yeah. And of all the things, right, that you probably had screwed up already.
Yeah. So that was my last day. I finished a shift and never went back.
I love it. I love it.
But I've had a much better career since then.
Yeah. So have I. Well, that's for another show.
All right. Go make some history. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week.
Thank you for joining us for an adventure in history. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.